It's Dane Cook, and you're listening to Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude? Podcast here on gloryholeradio.com.
All right, one more time with no energy.
It's Dane Cook, you're listening to Robert Kelly's podcast, You Know What, Dude? On gloryholeradio.com.
Do you know no one's ever done it without fucking it up? You know that, right?
Yeah.
And you just did it three times. Go now, do it now. Go.
This is Dane Cook, you're listening to Robert Kelly's podcast here on You Know What, Dude? On gloryholeradio.com.
I gotcha!
You know what, dude?
What's up? This is Robert Kelly, and we're here doing another episode of You Know What, Dude? And if you don't know who that is, you're a fucking idiot. I'm here with, I mean, this dude, it's fucking contagious, man.
You know what? I fucking hate my laugh.
Why?
I can't stand it because I can't help it. Because I get, here's the thing. I'll say this honestly. I've always surrounded myself when it comes comedy wise with guys like you know, funny people that make me laugh.
Right.
And so I end up not wanting to be a comedian, just sitting around and just listening. Like when you were running all the gear by them, that just makes me laugh hysterically. But so then I end up laughing nonstop, and then I fucking sound like a giggling fool. People would go back on ONA, go back on ONA, and just laugh.
You just ruined the podcast.
Fuck.
I'm kidding.
Fuck.
I know, I'm kidding. It does nothing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, Bert Kreischer.
Thanks.
And that's how you say it. I used to call you Bert Kreischer.
I called into radio the other day. They were filming in West Palm, and I called in, and they're like, "We're here with Robert Kelly." I was like, "Bobby," and they're like, "Why does he call you Bobby?" I was like, "Shut the fuck! Who can? How does no one know you as Bobby?" Like,
well, everybody calls me Robert.
Yeah,
who's not friends with me?
Yeah,
yeah, and most of my friends call me fucking dickhead, asshole, fuck you, shit, dick smack. I'm trying to bring Dick Smack back.
So my favorite Bobby Kelly story.
Wait.
Wait, come
this
on.
This is my podcast.
Sorry.
You really fucking, you get your own show on the Travel Channel. All of a sudden you take over. This is your documentary. This is my fucking podcast.
Yeah, okay, all right, go.
No, tell me to go. I'm not going to just go. That's exactly what I'm saying. You understand? I'm going I want to go.
Okay, all right.
So
all right.
You just wait.
I'm listening.
Don't tell me. I'm going to tell you what to do. You just fucking sit there.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go now.
Okay.
We're going. Now, listen to me. Bert Kreischer.
Yes.
I want to give a little, because some of my fans, I mean, I know everybody should know who you are, and if you don't, you're a fucking asshole.
We have separate circles of Twitter followers, I'd say.
A little bit. I mean, they know each other.
Yeah.
But they've never come together.
Like, I would say everyone that follows me definitely knows who you are.
Right. And everybody who follows me definitely knows who you are. No, absolutely. Absolutely. What are you saying? My followers aren't fucking good enough?
No, your followers, I don't think, know me.
Why?
Because your followers are like tough crowd followers. Your followers are true, like, old school comedy followers.
Who's your followers?
My followers are like brand new to me. They know me from podcasts, like from Rogan's podcast.
Right.
Everyone from Rogan's podcast knows who you are.
Right.
And they know me from Jay Moore's podcast. Everyone who listens to Jay Moore knows who you are, because it's a lot of crossover with the ONA posse. I've only done ONA
once. But then
you have
a whole travel channel.
Well, that's like 3,000 followers.
Yeah, but that's 3,000 followers, but a lot of those people are too old to get on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. No. My fans
don't
like.
I hate
say
when a fucking mean joke doesn't work and they take it serious, because then you just feel like the dick that you weren't trying to be.
No, a lot of the people, like I say to people I see at the shows, I go, they do something. I go, hit me up on Twitter, and they're like, I'm just on Facebook, and I was like, oh, I can't fucking Facebook.
I can mail you. Do you have an address?
Do you have a can you take a facsimile? Oh my god! The other day we're in Fort Lauderdale. I texted Bobby to find out if what hotel they were keeping us at, because I was flying my kids in,
right?
And I wanted to stay at the pool, which was a great weekend. Great hotel, club, great press. Everything about that Fort Lauderdale Improv is a dream club.
Right. Except Thursday night was the worst show I've ever had. One of the top five worst shows.
Really?
Ever. Thursday night. Friday night, standing ovation.
I never get
unfucking believable.
I never get.
I don't get them either, but I got one.
Seriously,
it was one of those. You know,
one of those
I wasn't doing this at the end of it.
You weren't doing it.
We just keep bowing. Thank you.
You weren't doing a.
Thank you.
You're just waiting for it.
You
like,
can say it,
Michael Jackson, baby.
Dude, fucking say it. Who gives a fuck? I'll say it. Joe Coy.
So I go to do the. I want to get back to that. So I'm in the Hartford Improv, and they're like, or Funny Bone, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I'm in the back, and the manager comes in and after my like Friday earlier show, and I go, good room. She goes, no, well, we had Joe Coy last week, and he got standing ovations on every show. Like,
really?
That. And I was like, that's exactly what I said. I go, because that is so rare to getting a standing ovation. You earn one. To get one on every show, something makes me feel like you're begging for it, or something is in disingenuous happening to make it happen.
Right.
You're like the guy who is in Scarface who goes, like this with his hands.
I'll tell you people who get them.
Who?
Famous people.
Yes.
Famous people because, okay, people come up, like a Louis C.K., we'll get it. Jerry Seinfeld. Those guys get them because they're in a theater, a bigger venue.
You're paying $55 for a ticket.
$55 to $100 a ticket.
Yeah.
Dane Cook got them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what you do after a big event. At a comedy club, to get a standing ovation, if you're not famous,
yeah.
If you're not like, I mean, famous, like, you know, Seinfeld famous or Louis C.K. famous, hard to do.
Very. Yeah. And so the manager tells me this. And as she's telling me this, I'm sitting there going, are you serious? And she goes, every show, he's always getting standing ovations. He's the best comic we've ever had come through here.
Okay.
And I see the cook behind her, right?
Yeah.
Black dude. And he's like looking like with his face.
I don't know why
cool.
that matters. Racist.
So, no. Because I'm about to do an accent and I don't want you. You're going to go, wait, like, he's definitely black. Either that or Eminem. So,
now this better be a good black accent.
So she leaves, right? Shuts the door. All of a sudden the door opens and the cook comes in, you know, with those one of those old Jameson Improv shirts that has grease all over it and the apron. And the cook pan sticks his head and he goes, motherfucker closed on a Michael Jackson impression. Come on. I go, thank God this is you know.
That's,
so yeah.
Well, you know what, dude? Here's the deal. I was surprised.
Yeah.
I got it. It was fucking like, I'm not. It wasn't those one where that one girl stands up and you go and the guy points at her and goes, thank you.
Yes.
You. But then everybody's like, oh shit, all right, fuck it. You know what I mean? That standing ovation. And there's some guys. I know a guy in Vegas. I used to MC in Vegas at the Harris. He would say at the end of the show, did you guys have a good time?
Yeah.
Well, usually you stand up.
Fucker.
You stand up if you have a good time. That's how you show the comedian you had a good time. And he would force a standing ovation.
It's the same shit as like, no, they're giving me the light, so it looks like I got to get out of here. No, don't go. Please stick around.
One more thing before I go.
Yeah. Oh.
I know you're here to see Robert Kelly. What? Shut the fuck up. Don't mention my name.
I've had people go on stage and be like, well, that's my portion of the show. I appreciate you guys coming out to see me. We got another comic coming up. I'm like, whoa, motherfucker, I'm the one doing press in the morning.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, to go back to the original story.
Wait a minute. We are going back to this.
What?
The road.
Yes.
That me and you, because we're at the road right now. We're doing the same type of road. So we're running into the same psychological fucking headaches.
Oh.
So we're going back to that. So go finish this story, but back to this.
No. There's no. It was such a fucking throwaway. Let's stick on the road. Because it was just that my daughter answered the phone in the hotel and said hello. And then I said, hang it up. And she didn't know how to hang it up. She was like, what do I do? I go, you put it on the thing. She goes, what does that do? I go, it hangs it up. She's fucking five. She's never hung up a phone. Isn't that
That's
crazy?
It?
That was it. Sorry. So anyway, let's go back to the road.
Jesus.
So yes.
I've never edited this podcast.
Oh my God.
I might fucking edit it. I actually might go back out and take that shitty Dottie started story out. What are you on, Bob and Tom?
Listen. Have you ever done Bob and Tom?
No, I've never done.
Are you serious?
No.
Very different than O&A.
I would imagine. But they're probably nice guys, just very different.
Very different.
But the thing with the
energy is the same in between breaks.
Really?
Very, very, very similar. Energy.
What do you mean? Like quiet?
Yeah, like quiet and like everyone goes their own way. And I think that's to keep it live on air.
No, they don't like each other. Really? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, that's usually what happens in between the radio. Yeah. You know,
but I always end up sitting in the room on both shows going like,
Here's the thing is they've been doing it for 15 years. And every day, 5 days a week, waking up at 5 in the morning, seeing the same fucking douchebags. After a while, it's like, I get it. You're going to go sit on a couch and do your thing and check your dumb phone. And as soon as you go back on, blah, 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 let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, after a while. But what my fucking thing is on the road, and I'm actually getting better with it now, but the last couple years, what I went through was, you know, you no one gives a fuck. Either you're the headliner selling out six shows or four shows,
yeah,
making the club a shitload of money, or you're going in, putting on one of the best shows
that they've ever seen. And
ever
they tell
seen.
You that. They tell you that.
Yes.
When you get done and they go, you know what? I've seen a lot of shows here. You're the best I've ever seen. Right. It's, I mean, in comparison to who they see, if you look at the bill, there are out of say, one quarter where they have maybe 30 acts going up throughout the quarter,
right,
25 of them are guys that are should not be doing it anymore.
They're mediocre.
Yes.
They're
and then there are five. Yeah. And in that 25 are people that are making 80 grand on the for the weekend. I mean, there are guys that are just phoning it in. I'm not saying like big names, but like I mean names that did SNL back in the day, long time ago,
but
that are still doing the rogues, they have a mortgage, and they just go in, phone it in, but then they're like, oh, well, I saw that guy.
Well, here's the thing though, is that guys like me, guys like you, we give 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say 110% because I don't think that exists.
Yeah.
We give 100%.
Yeah.
We fucking kill it. We go up and we try to fucking really level the room. Not for 10 minutes and then, you know, from the second I open my fucking mouth,
yeah,
to this, when I say that it's on my time, an hour, I'm going to fucking do the best shit I got.
Yeah.
And try to make you laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. Some guys go in there and just fuck off. These guys doing 3 hours, by the way, you know, you hear this? Because
yeah,
I get fucked up because at an hour, I'm like, wow, that's enough.
Yeah.
I think a show should be an hour and a half. That's it. Physically, somebody can only laugh, their body, open their mouth,
yeah,
and make that that physical laugh movement for an hour and a half. And then you start to get tired. And then the checks drop and all this shit happens. And, you know, towards you want the end of the show to fucking go up,
yeah,
and end on a strong note. But these guys are going for 3 hours. It's not a fucking a killer 3 hour set.
It's an exhausting 3 hours.
It's an exhausting. You have to be a fan. A fan.
There are very few people I'd watch talk for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'd watch Chris Rock talk
I'd
for 3 hours.
I'd watch Jesus talk for 3 hours.
I'd watch Jesus talk for. And Chelsea Handler.
Do you like Chelsea Handler?
No, I do like Chelsea Handler.
Have you been on the show?
3 hours. No, she won't have me.
Really?
Yeah, because I think I'm more man. Like, I'm like a...
Too alpha?
Yeah, like, she won't have, like, fucking alpha male. She has, like, guys she can beat up, pound around, like, guys
right,
who trim their beard up to their beard up to their chin. Like,
right,
those guys. I think I asked to be on it because I like the show, and I'm good in that kind of environment.
Right.
And they were like, no. And I was like, okay. And then one of the writers came out to do stand-up. Chris Frangiola did stand-up with me. He featured for me.
Right.
And went up, had a great set, and then he was like, man, you are hilarious. Like, you should come on the show. And I was like, I'd love to, man. Can you set that up? And he was like, of course. And then I had them follow up, and they're like, yeah, it's still not happening. Because
yeah,
you can't, that show doesn't work with a man. You got to be like a beta male? Where, like, like, I mean, everyone's gay on the show, you know? I mean, yeah, like, Ross, like, it's the whole show is, yeah, is like...
And then the women are men.
And then the women are men. So yeah, you can't flip it around and have a man be like, yeah, you know, yeah, easy there, skirt, you
yeah,
know?
It's a fucking softball team.
Yeah, it's, yeah,
yeah.
So, I mean, I still like the show and I'd still love to do it, but I'm never going to get on it.
Well, the thing that, like, I run into on the... You go on the road and... You know, you don't bring your guys. You can't bring your fucking... You don't have enough money to bring the MC and the middler.
Oh, yeah.
Like some of the guys do. Like Rogan brings his guys around.
That's the dream.
That's
the
dream.
Is to get on a tour where it's you and your friends. Because you... I don't know if you've been in this situation, but I was in this... You didn't have to do the road as early as I did. Because I had kids. Like 7 years ago, I had started having kids. And I needed money. I was broke.
I didn't?
No, you... Yeah, you didn't
Are
need
you
to do the
mind?
Road the way... You always had like TV shows.
What?
Tours with Dane.
Are
like you always had...
Dude, I've been... Let
okay,
me, hang
how
on
many
a second.
Years have you been making six figures?
Hang on one second.
How many years have you been making six figures?
Six figures?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know how long that's
probably,
been.
I'm going to guess. I'm going to ballpark it at 7 years in a row.
No. Not that. No.
Yeah.
Nope. I would say after Torgasm, yeah.
So that was what?
I would say
six
after,
years ago?
After
that was 6 years
no,
ago.
No, it wasn't 6 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it was.
4 years ago.
Torgasm wasn't 4 years ago.
2000... When I, but here's the thing, I didn't make any money off Torgasm. Let's just put that out there. I didn't make a dime off HBO.
Are you serious?
I didn't get paid by, I got paid by Dane to do Torgasm before anything happened when it was supposed to be a documentary.
Yeah.
I got paid like $1,000 a show to do 20 shows, 30 days, one boss, four guys. Yeah,
yeah.
Right? I got paid that to do just the tour. And we didn't know what was going to happen with it. He was going to make a documentary out of it, make it into a DVD, and sell it off his website. Dane wasn't Dane when we did Torgasm.
Which
you know, so,
is,
so then
you, yeah,
years later, maybe a year and a half later, is when he blew up. HBO stepped in, our special, and then they saw Torgasm, and they were like, we'll take this too. So I didn't get one fucking nickel.
That's
Listen
crazy.
To me. Not a fucking nickel. When I broke my knee, I used my own insurance. Because
really?
When we did that, everybody backed out. When I hurt my knee and I had to get ACL, nobody paid for my anything.
Shut up.
If I didn't have insurance, I would have been fucked.
Really?
Oh yeah, dude. I probably lost money on fucking Torgasm. The way I made my money on Torgasm, and I bought my fucking apartment in New York and blah blah blah, I had to go on the road and use that fame that I had and just fucking blow it out for 2 years. So yeah. I was on the road back then, dude. And before that, I was on the road making fucking $1,000 for like Wednesday to Sunday at improvs, headlining on off nights. I would go into these clubs and dude, I was given like a fucking oh my God set in front of, you know, these packed shows because they give all the tickets out.
Yeah.
And I would fucking just kill it. And for like $1,000.
See, then what I'm saying right now is probably the most dominant energy in comedy is that you look at other people's careers and you think they're automatically better than yours.
Yeah.
Like I remember when I had a kid, I'd watch you guys on Tough Crowd. Like that was when Tough Crowd was big.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. My career is better than yours. Absolutely. I'm not saying that. Absolutely. Please. I'm just trying to relate to you. I would never take your career. I would.
No. I remember when that was going on. I was featuring on the road. Georgia was my oldest, and I would sit on. I'd watch Tough Crowd, and like just be like in awe because it was everyone that was. You guys were all like a year above me in comedy, and I'd watch you guys, and I was doing the road. I was making $700 a week, flying myself out, trying to like piece it together to keep the girls and like everyone happy, but still be gone. And I was still partying like pretty hard. And but then I look back and I'm like, during that time, that first leap that I had probably like 6 years ago, when I was headlining everywhere, the $1,000 nights where they'd set you up, man, and they'd set you up to fail. Like they'd bring you in. They'd be like, never heard of this guy. Let's fucking bury him.
But they still do.
Yeah.
They still do. I mean, I don't know how you're changing a little bit. And it's changing for me a little bit. It's gotten better in the last year for some reason because I said no. I said no.
Yeah.
The most powerful thing in this business is the word fucking no. And I said no a couple years ago to some things. And I was like, nope, not doing it. I would rather not have or have to change my life a little bit here and be happy than to be miserable and be taken advantage of on the road. And I said to my agent, I go, this is what I'll do. This is nothing. Don't even call me. Don't call me. And I said, I don't want people selling shit at my shows. Don't ask me.
Yeah.
I don't want people coming up to me and asking me. And no guest spots. I don't want people just...
Those are the things that make your weekend fucking hell.
Yeah.
When you go in and you have a feature who's selling 3 t-shirts and 3 DVDs
for
$20.
But the joke at the end of his act is the t-shirt.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Wow, you just turned me into a hack. Now I have to tell this fucking... I sell this fucking t-shirt.
Oh, Bobby. Can I have one? Yes. Wait.
I sell this fucking t-shirt.
But here's the difference.
I sell this fucking t-shirt and I have to tell this joke.
If you don't give me one of those fucking shirts, I'll kill you. Can you move the... Why would you have a drink in front of it, dude?
It's
I'm kidding. What the fuck?
So yeah, but so
dude,
I
love
that.
Is that an XL? Double X?
Yeah, double X.
I want one of those.
I have to tell that joke at the end of every show because if I don't do it, I did it one night. I didn't tell it, and and they'll attest. There were people coming up going, "Dude, the only reason I bought tickets is to hear the Machine story," and I'm like,
"Yeah,
sorry, that'll happen again."
Listen, I'm not talking about you. You've paid your fucking dues.
Yeah.
You've been out there. You've been hustling. You've been fucking. You went on the auditions. You booked the fucking show on the Travel Channel. You did Hurt Burt.
Yeah.
You paid your dues in the Village. You're the headliner. You get to hold up a fucking t-shirt and stick it in your asshole and sell that after the show.
I definitely feel
whatever
that.
The fuck you want to do is you can be able to do.
You can totally
but for
do.
Some guy who's been doing it for 3 years and you have a DVD and a CD that you made in your fucking basement, okay?
And you're underselling me.
Yeah, and you're underselling. And you get a t-shirt with the joke isn't even fucking funny. It's not a funny joke. That should be the rule with t-shirts.
Yes.
It should be a funny joke. If the joke is funny, you could sell a t-shirt. If it's not, you have to burn them all in the parking lot. And then you come out and they got all, it's like, dude, do you mind? Like, I'm just trying to make a little extra money. You know, yeah, dude, this is the problem. This is what not making enough money at the middler benefits you, because that makes you want to become a headliner. Because you don't make enough money as a middler to support yourself.
Yeah.
So you either have to get another job and quit this business, or you have to become funnier and take my job. That's your responsibility. That's why you don't get paid. That's why it's a good thing. You don't get to use CDs and t-shirts to compensate to make as much money as I do. Okay,
yes.
So that you can stay in that shit spot and do your best 20, fucking do whatever the fuck you want in the middle, think you're a superstar, and then you'll never ever progress. Because
right.
I used to watch guys like Dane, I'd watch guys like Jay or Rogan. I used to watch Rogan and fucking Colin, and I'd be like, I want that.
Yeah, that's a natural feeling in this business, is to look at those guys in like awe in the back. I still do it. Now I think, and you'll probably agree with this, is that I look at those guys, like I look at Colin. There's a lot of guys that I look at and I go, I want the ability to be better like that. Like, I just want to be better now. Like, I go, I can headline everywhere. I can do, you know, talk shows or whatever, but I want to just go to the next, like, I want to be able to fucking be proud of my material and write in my voice and be more authentic. You know,
well,
all that
Colin
shit.
Said that to me. He said, the day you're a stand-up comedian, a great stand-up comedian, where you can walk off stage and not feel guilty.
I feel guilty every fucking night.
Well, here's the deal, man. I transitioned like 4 years ago when I my life fell apart personally. I would say five, 6 years ago.
What happened?
So just my life fell apart. I almost lost my chick. I almost lost everything. Because I was a piece of shit. You know, running around, fucking being a hunk of garbage.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing comedy, and that's it. And then everything got almost taken away, and I was going to be alone. And I made a decision to go get fucking help and try to be just a better human being.
Yeah.
And to the people that I care about around me. And then, you know, I wound up getting engaged and wound up getting married and like kind of falling in love with my wife and going to therapy once a week, twice a week. That's when I started to actually go on stage and talk about shit. That's when I started finding my voice.
Yeah.
Because, I may look like a big fucking tough guy, you know, bald fucking asshole from Boston, but I'm just a hurt little boy. That's all. I'm just get my feelings hurt all the time. That's why I want to beat people up, because I'm just hurt. I remember the time, this is a quick story, man, when we did an RV trip.
Oh, yes.
Across the country. Me and you rented. Me, you, Frosty, who was our agent. Vincent Nastri, who was our agent. Your manager. And we rented a huge RV. And we drove across Arizona, Utah, and wound up in Vegas for 2 days.
Yeah.
And we it was amazing.
It was. I still to this day can't imagine that we had that much disposable time and income that we could just go.
I didn't.
For like, are you
I didn't. I spent all the money I had on that trip.
Are you serious?
I was broke after that trip.
We went for like 10 days.
Had nothing.
Like 10 days. But it was a great fucking trip. I posted some of those pictures on Twitter a couple weeks ago.
We had
ago.
A great trip. But if you remember, me and Bert almost got into a fight.
Well, I was drinking. Let's just say I was drinking from the second I woke up until the second I went to bed.
We used to call you a silverback gorilla because Bert, he would sleep. He slept on, you know, the bed above the driver's seat and the passenger seat. There's a bed that you kind of had to roll up into. He didn't give a fuck, which was great. Bert's the best guy to be on the road with because he doesn't care. He's like, his ego is in check. He doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I'll fucking take this. I don't give a fuck. He rolls up in there. But in the morning, he would just roll out in his underwear with like a ball hanging out, one sock on, and just boom, 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 and just fucking go through and knocking shit over to take a piss.
That was a great trip. But I don't like, there was like, what it was, it led up to, it was three things that led up to that. Yep. One was when we rented the boat and I was drunk and we were fucking flying through those canals and I was scaring the shit out of you and Frosty and Vincent.
Yeah, because I'm 26 years sober.
Yeah.
I've been in AA. I don't drink or use drugs.
I'm fucking flying at like 30 miles an hour through these canals just because I grew up on boats. I've driven boats all the time and I know we've done this before. So I'm like, and Bobby's from Boston. Frosty's from...
I've never been on a boat.
Yeah, and they're both just like, stop it, man. Man, you're scaring us. And I'm just, whoo, beer, it's Coors Light in hand. And then and then I took you tubing, and Bobby had never been tubing. And I said, come on, get on. So the first time I take you tubing, I go to throw you off the tube. That's how you tube.
What tube?
You remember the tube? Yeah, the tube?
You do a tube?
Okay, hold on.
A tube?
So wait, let me just tell you the story. So then Bobby gets on the back of the tube.
Are you stealing somebody's life?
No.
Who the fuck's tubing, dude?
We had a tube on the back of the boat. It was a string with an inner tube. And you go, I want to go tubing. I go, okay. So you got on the back.
A string?
Wait, hold on. You don't remember this?
No.
I'll call Frosty and he'll fucking remember
this. I
don't
remember.
Okay, let me just tell the story. So you get on the back and I start pulling you and I start like spinning you. What you call it, like a slow roller where you turn and the tube goes in front of the boat and you go flying.
Yeah.
So I do that once to you. You fucking wipe out and you're fucking irate. You're so mad and you go, and I can see it in your face. You're in the water with the life vest and you're staring at me and I pull up and I'm like, hop back on. You go, I'm fucking done. I don't want to fucking do that. You fucking threw me off. And I go, I know, that's part of the tubing. And you go, you get me in that boat or I'm gonna kick your ass. And so I just kept going around you. I go, Bobby, I'm not letting you in the boat to beat me up. And you're like, pull closer, I want to get in the boat so I can kick your ass. I go, Bobby, I'm not letting you in the boat. You're like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. I go, guys, I'm not letting him in the boat. So Frosty went over and goes, Bobby, that's the point of tubing. And Bobby, you go, I'll do it one more time, but don't fucking, no funny business, just pull me. So you get on the back and I go straight at like 20 miles an hour. It's boring as shit. And you're in the back, you're like, all right, fucking spin me. So we spin you, go, okay, I'm not gonna kick your ass. Let me in the boat. So we let you in the boat. And then we just spun each other around on this tube whole time.
I don't remember any of it.
I swear to you, because I never forget.
Dude, here's the thing. Is if we find out, if we get to the point where if we get to Frosty and you're like, oh shit, it wasn't you, Rob.
Yeah.
I fucked up.
Yeah.
You owe me $100.
Okay, I know.
I
it was
hate
you.
When people do this.
I know it was you. I know
I hate
it was
when
you.
People do this.
I'll call Frosty right now.
Here's the thing. If this isn't me, I want something. Because I hate when people do this. Because now I feel like I'm insane.
No.
I feel like I'm crazy.
It was totally you, and I'll never forget it.
Right.
So then finally, we get in the boat. We all went. It was a beautiful, that day on the lake was beautiful,
right.
Gorgeous. So then the next day we go to these like sulfur springs and ran into Barry Katz.
It's Hurricane, Utah. It's these springs. You pay like $5 or $10 and you go in. They have really hot natural springs, medium and then regular. And there's sulfur in them. It's like fucking just load. It's like dinosaur load. It smells like fucking just matches.
And it's apparently it's like good for your
you rub it all over your body.
So we were just covering each other in mud. Ran into my manager.
Stop. Whoa. Stop.
Stop. Wait.
Bert talks fast. You're a fast talker, okay? We have to slow. Sometimes you have to slow Bert down. We were not covering each other in mud.
Okay. We
were covering ourselves in mud, and we were jerking each other off with sulfur. Jesus, man.
So we all, I was definitely drunk at the time.
Yeah, of course you were.
Yeah.
You were drunk a lot, dude.
On that trip, yeah. On that trip, I was, because I was like on vacation.
This is what would happen is what happens when there's the social dynamic of the group, and, you know, Frosty was the driver, me and Vincent were the food people, and you did nothing.
I did nothing.
You did nothing. So, but
I did nothing, and at one point, you accused me of stealing your shampoo and your CD.
Really?
Blade Runner, yeah. Cause
I swear
to God, because we had the same shampoo. We had the same shampoo. And you saw it in my hand. You go, that's my fucking shampoo. And I go, no, it's my shampoo. And then the Blade Runner DVD, we watched it on the... Me and you watched it together. I'd never seen it.
I don't remember.
How do you not remember this?
Accusing you of stealing my...
And so,
dude, look at me. Did I have shampoo?
And so... No,
I'm
you had
bald.
Hair at the time. You had hair at the time.
All
you
right.
had hair at the time. You did have
all
hair.
Right. Okay. So that's what bugs me, too. Just a fucking side note right here.
Yeah.
The fact that I went bald before you... Fuck it. Admit it right now. You got hair plugs.
No,
something,
I didn't.
I swear to God.
I
hate people like you.
I
hate people like you. People who have been bald since they were 19 fucking bug me. I thought you were gone. And I would look at you and be like, at least he's going bald too. If he's working, we're fine. And then I just, it went, fuck you and your genetics. Go ahead.
So then when we go to the hot springs, we're drinking pretty heavily. And I haven't driven once this whole trip.
You can't. We would be arrested.
So, but Frosty was also into driving.
Frosty was smoking a lot of weed.
Oh, he was.
Which, like, I didn't know. And if I knew he was that high, we were driving through those canyons in Utah, where if you take one wrong turn, we're just dead.
I remember one time sitting next to him, and he's driving through the canyon. I go, and it's like later, and I go, Frosty, okay? And he just looks at me and shouts, what? What's the matter? Am I driving wrong? And I'm like, oh, never mind. I'm going to go back and start drinking. So
we're in Utah.
We're backing out the RV.
Wait a minute. Stop. You guys, fuck you. Here it is again, where you guys made me. You made me back the fucking RV out. I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys, because it was a tricky spot. You guys, Bobby, you go do it. We'll go. And you're like, I'll guide you. And you went out there and you weren't paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention at all.
And I backed it out.
And you backed it out and you ran into a tree and ripped the, like, side of the RV.
I didn't rip the side. I ripped the awning. The roll
the
awning, up awning.
Yes, the awning.
Ripped,
that's right. We hadn't even ripped it, rolled it back up. I think it was still down.
No, it was up. But there was a branch sticking out. See, I know you're lying about the shampoo, the fucking other thing, and the fucking tube. Because that's not even what happened.
I swear to God.
What happened was, I'm backing it up. I'm driving. It's a huge RV.
Yeah.
And I'm backing up. You guys were supposed to be helping me, but you fucking knuckleheads were talking. I looked and you guys were yapping about some bullshit. Yeah. And I'm like, is my cool? Yeah. And I backed up.
Meanwhile, Frosty's next to me going, you ever look and not recognize your feet? And I'm like, yeah, sometimes. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So we get back. Yeah. You come out of the thing. And you're like, what happened? And I go, and I'm sure I said something to the effect of, I think there's a branch.
Nope, wasn't you. It was me. It was all on me. This part I'll own. I was a piece. What happened was, I fucked up. I fucked up.
Yeah.
And I got so scared. And this is what I learned through therapy.
That's right.
I got so scared and I got so nervous. I just lashed out at you guys.
Yeah.
I started yelling at you guys on the thing. You should have fucking helped me. You cocksuckers. I didn't want to. And then you said, you go, Bobby, listen, man, just relax. I go, shut the fuck up. You go, don't tell me to shut up. I go, I'll fucking. And I turned Boston, but there was a point where you went, all right, fuck it, dude. I don't care. And you were like, I'll fucking take a beating or I'll give you a beating. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's fucking go. And then something happened where they broke us up. But it was totally my bag. I fucked
up. I'm so glad you say that because I always felt in that whole situation. I think what I said to you is, I go, Bobby, don't worry. We'll split it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, it's our fault as much as yours. And you were really, you were upset.
I was upset because I had no money.
I didn't know that at the time.
I just put that together right now. I remember when it happened, I was like, I don't have any money to do this. You guys are going to stick me with this. These guys are going to fuck me. They don't give a fuck. All you guys had fucking way more money than me. You were going to, that's when you popped out. You were getting deal after fucking deal.
Yeah.
That I don't even know if that's real. That's what I thought.
No. I definitely was, I just gotten done a TV show and like two sitcoms and I had a ton of money.
My darkest fears were true.
No. I was doing much better than you at the time. But I also didn't have any perspective of what it was like to be to look at that fucking rip and go, wow, that's 2 weeks on the road. Like, I didn't have any or whatever. I don't remember. I don't forget what it was. So then, but you said, you go, I'll fucking kill you. And I remember literally saying, all right, either I think we're gonna fight. I remember thinking that. I remember genuinely thinking, I think he's gonna beat me up.
Yeah.
But then I was like, and then Frosty's like, just stop talking to him. I go, no, I think he's gonna kill me. And he was like, what do you know? I was like, I guess we're gonna fucking fight.
Yeah, no, dude, it was me, man. I fucking snapped.
And I tried to apologize for like 2 days, and you wouldn't accept my apology.
Nah, I did, man.
You did. But like, definitely not that first day. And then the next day.
Yeah, it was me, dude. It was that Boston fucking bullshit of fuck you guys, you cocksuckers.
Uh-oh.
And then you said something. But you're that Florida nice guy. and that laugh. And I was like, go fuck. And it was just, thank God that never happened. Number one.
Thank God.
Thank God we never fought. Number one, because God forbid you fucking just beat the fuck out of me.
That wouldn't
happen.
And then
taught me a lesson.
Between the two of our cardiovascular abilities at the time, it would have lasted very short. It would have ended with us laying on the ground next to each other, just.
Yeah, but you understand my nightmare is that if we did fight that day and you beat me up and just that laugh standing over me, just. Yeah, dude. Oh, I just have to take it. Just that face. Just on top of me going, ah, you motherfucker. Just
stroking my hair. I'm balding, by the way. I don't want you to think I'm fucking in my hair.
Please, I hope it goes. I hope it goes.
It's going.
I do this stuff.
I do this stuff called Super Million Hairs when I do like TV. That fills it.
Does it waterproof?
Yeah, it's fucking beautiful.
It's waterproof?
This shit grabs onto your hair follicle. You spray.
Why
are
you pointing
at
the camera guy?
Because I did it to him one night in London. Yeah. And then we go out and he goes, I look fucking like 18. I look awesome. And then we go out and it starts raining. And he's like, what do I do? And I was like, find cover. But I put it on when I do like TV.
He starts to look like a goth chick.
Yeah, just start pouring down, Bella.
Yeah, dude. I look back
at that trip fondly. Yeah. Other than that one hiccup, which I think that's the other part about guys is that, especially guys like ourselves, that never made me not want you to like enjoy watching you on TV or enjoy you listening to you do stand up or anything like that. Loving the guy.
That's the growing pains of this business is that you're learning to hang out with. Look, I hung out with guys that like me my whole life. You get into comedy, all of a sudden you're hanging out with guys that have nothing to do with you, like you, Norton and Patrice and Billy and. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm hanging with Voss. Who the fuck hangs out with a mumbling Jew? I've never hung up with it. You know what I mean? Then the big black guy you know, from Roxbury, a redhead from Canton, some fucking yapper dude from fucking Florida. A pedophile from Jersey.
I was in Scotland with Patrice and Voss, and we were living in a hotel. We were living in a house for like 3 days, right. Or for like 30 days. With Louis Schaefer.
Oh my God.
And it was me, Patrice, and Voss. And I was like, I remember sitting in that room going, like, we have nothing. Like, I go, I have nothing in common with these guys. Yeah. Like, what am I, the first day, I was like, what the fuck are we going to talk about?
You know what you have in common? What? Fucking laughs.
Yes. And then next thing you know, it's like, Patrice eating fucking, I remember he's eating blood sausage, just fucking pounds of it. Patrice taught me how to cook an omelet. Voss was just smoking. So, how much money you get on those deals? Yeah. How much? Tell me how much. Just fucking and then Voss is like, want to go golfing? You're like, oh, okay. And then Voss turns into this sweetheart that you find that you end up going, oh, there's the hardcore of the guy. There's like, right after I had my baby, I ran into him and he was like, you had a little girl, huh? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, oh, they're the greatest. You're going to love being a father. Like, just real fucking dad shit. Patrice gave me the best advice of my life.
Quit at that. Comedy.
You ain't funny. I don't understand what you're doing. He helped me write. One of the first joke I ever had that I thought was a real fucking joke.
Yeah.
I had written a joke I told her on stage in Scotland was based on my flight over. I got cut off by the stewardess. And I, at one point, I thought when she was trying to cut me off, I was like, what if I just took my finger and put it to her lips and we're like, shh, uh-huh. Go get me one. I told Patrice that and he was like, yeah, it needs to be a man. I said, what? It needs to be a man, it needs to be a cop. You know, I'm doing a horrible Patrice right now. I go, what? And he goes, when you touch a man's face, you take his power away.
That's funny.
And he reached across the table and started touching my face. And I felt very emasculated. And he goes, see? And I went, yeah. And he goes, it needs to be a cop. And so I started saying, you know what cops hate? When you touch their faces. Gets a big fucking laugh when the cop pulls you over. And he comes over to the window and goes, you know why I pulled you over? Yeah. Just take your finger, put his lips and go, shh. And then take off. He'll be on the side of the road 15 minutes. What the fuck just happened?
I saw you do that joke on TV. Something the other day, actually.
And I was at
the Improv. They were showing.
Yeah. And I was like, man, that's how you fucking write a joke. Because I didn't have any fucking jokes at the time. Right. All I knew how to do was make fun of Puerto Ricans. That's all you could do. And that's all I learned how to do in New York.
That's all Puerto Ricans know how to do.
Yeah.
but dude, I remember when you first came to New York. you lived across the street from the cellar.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that fucking shithole.
Oh, the fucking hole.
But it was across the street from the cellar.
And you could, oh, it was Dream. The greatest. Swing in. Attell's here. Swing in. Just go sit in the back. Watch Attell.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Hedberg. I saw all great comedy that defined what I respect in comedy at the cellar.
Right.
And then I learned how to do it at the Boston Comedy Club.
Right. And then you, surprisingly, dude, you went into LA and became a... You went on the road, actually, and became a comic. You went and really
I learned how to stand on stage and handle myself on stage in New York. I used to say the difference is, and then I learned how to write jokes in L.A. Like, I learned how to... Do you remember when we first came out to L.A.? And I remember sitting in the back with you, and you're like, all this clever shit, it fucking loses me. Yeah. Like, all this... Everyone's fucking up there being clever. Like, tell a fucking joke. I don't need to know the math works on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, the difference is LA is like working out in a crunch for a magazine zine shoot. You want your abs to look good. You want your pecs to look good. You want it all to be symmetrical. Your legs will work out good. Mm-hmm. You want to tan before you do it. Yeah. Working out on stage in New York is like working out in the prison yard. Like you get a fucking broomstick with two cinder blocks and you're just doing work so you don't get raped in the shower. Yeah. Like that's, and so I learned how to not get raped in the shower in LA, in New York. And then I learned how to tighten up the body a little bit in LA. And then I just went on the road. And I think the road, in my opinion, is more like New York than LA.
Well, the road, I love comics that don't want to do the road. I love comics that are like, dude, I've had people say, dude, I just want to become famous enough that I don't have to do the road. And it's like, well, you don't want to be a comic.
Yeah.
You want to be a comic, you're going to have to do the road.
Yeah.
Because being that fear of bombing, the fear of the middle or killing or fucking stepping on some of your jokes, the fear of the guy going, oh, the two guys in front of you going over, the fear of the people that are there not to see you. They're there because they gave them free tickets on a Thursday night because you didn't fucking sell out.
Yeah.
So they just gave a bunch of all those fears and all those battles and all those things. Make you define what you are, what you'll accept and what you won't accept, or it'll make you quit and crazy. Back to the full circle, back to being on the road, you're going to learn how to overcome. You're going to learn that it doesn't matter what the guy in front of you just talked about. It doesn't matter how funny he was. It doesn't matter what crowd it is or who's in front of you. If your shit is good, if you're pure in what you're about to say and why you're saying it. You think this is really funny.
Yeah.
I think this is funny. And I wrote this, and this is the subject I want to talk about. This happened to me, and I want to talk about it. It doesn't matter if this comic or that comic thinks it's a great joke or a hack joke or blah, blah, blah. Because there's a difference between hack and a thief.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If you believe in it, you'll be funny. You'll be able to take that crowd right over from the guy in front of you or whatever the fuck happened in front of you or whatever. If they don't know you, you'll be able to go up there and people are going to listen to you. If you can make people listen, that's to me the ultimate in comedy. When they not only do they walk away and go, you're funny, they can actually tell you why you're funny.
Yeah.
That joke you said about crying, I felt the same way.
Yeah.
That joke you said about wanting to kill your wife, you know, I thought that.
Yeah.
You're actually making people, that's when they were listening, because they heard it, they took it home, they know your name, and they'll tell people about it.
Yeah.
That to me is the ultimate. Being funny is awesome. When you're not up there trying to be funny, when you're up there just doing your shit that you set out to do without fear, is the ultimate in comedy to me. And you can only get that by going on the road and fucking going through those wars like you went through with this weekend in Gotham.
It is the nature of the beast, so you kind of have to get used to it and figure out how it works with you or get past it. Like, I got to a point where I was like, where I used to sweat, like if I saw a black dude in front of me on stage, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a fucking nightmare, because he's gonna go up, and then any racial jokes I do, anything that I cover,
right, your cell phone is gonna be missing when you get back to the green room. Right?
Yeah. But then I just got to
a lot
the point
of worry.
Where, like, it's a long fucking week.
Chick's going to be fucking sucking some black cock back there while you're on stage.
So, yeah.
Oh, the worst.
But, yeah,
this is the reality of it. You shouldn't be afraid of anything. Comics, you know, especially famous headliners, they all have these little things. You know, do this, and I don't want this, and I want that. And I have the same thing. you know, don't do, you know, I've never told a comic, don't say that in front of me.
Yeah.
But I've had guys say it to me, and I've seen guys say it to other people, and everybody, you have this fear of it has to be perfect or I'm not going to do well. You know?
Yeah.
And it's not. It's never going to be perfect. That's the beauty of comedy. You're always up there surviving. You're up there surviving. You know, from the second you have to find your Q-tips, pack that stupid bag, and where's my nose hair trimmer, and
yeah.
Holy fuck, I got to get a ride and get to the airport, get to the gate, get your bag, get in the fucking thing, get on the plane. Hopefully it takes off and you don't die.
Oh.
Land and don't die. Get there. The guy who is you, Robert, you went to the hotel.
You
got to
deal with the attitude of, so I've never heard of you, and you're like, oh, motherfucker.
Oh, those, yeah, all, I mean, all the nuances. And then you get to the club and fucking, is anybody coming? Ugh.
Yeah.
And then the fucking, who are you? Hi. And do you mind if I sell? Fuck, I do. And you know, and it's all that shit. It's not just getting on stage; it's all the shit before it, and then getting the fuck home to your happy place, which is your fucking family and your house. Oh, it's a motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm fucking. Are you gonna ever have kids?
I'm trying right now, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I'm trying, but I don't know if I'm gonna have kids after fucking hearing you waking up every day. Okay. At 8
it's
o'clock.
Great. It's great, but it's just a. It's like a lot. Like I've been gone for like 20 days now.
You
on the road?
Kids in 20 days?
I flew them to West Fort Lauderdale.
Really?
To hang out with me, because I was like, I'm gonna be gone for 20 days. I'll fucking kill them. But you just know you're fucking them up.
Yeah.
Like, you know that it's not healthy to just see your dad for fucking Tuesday.
Yeah.
And but you there's no middle ground. There's no like,
oh fuck, you know what, dude? Back in the day, they used to fucking they used to die. You know what I mean?
I saw my dad sometimes on Sunday if the Bucks were playing.
My dad had to go fucking do cattle.
Yeah,
fucking he had to bring cattle to Kansas.
My dad was in the Civil War.
I haven't seen my dad in 6 years.
Yeah,
fuck these fucking kids now, dude. You know what? You're out there trying to make it. It really. Trying to make it so you have crushed ice, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So you can walk up to a fridge and get water and then crushed ice.
It's all about crushed ice.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get you guys crushed ice.
That's it. That's fucking it.
Oh, so
fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck them. And you know what? Later in life, they'll fucking know it. And the time you do spend with them is fucking magical. And your wife is probably the shit. There's no way I'm feeling guilty about trying to get these motherfuckers crushed ice.
Yeah.
You know, like my wife, it's like, bitch, you know, sometimes I come home and it's like, you know, I was thinking, it's not, you like the fucking TV, right?
Yeah.
You like this apartment I bought you right in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan?
Yeah.
You like all this? Yeah. Then fucking shut your face. I gotta go. I gotta go here. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I got a trooper. She's a fucking soldier.
Oh, yeah.
She gets it. But every once in a while, it's like,
my wife's, you know, a trooper.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I love my wife, man. I fucking love. I never, you know me, dude.
Yeah.
You know me, dude.
Yeah.
You know me from back in the
fucking
day.
Fucking therapy must have worked for you.
Dude, you know what a piece of shit.
I do.
What a honk of garbage I was. I mean, dude, I remember fucking literally having my dick in a chick's mouth as they're saying my name. You guys ready for your next act?
Like,
fucking. All right, give it up. Fucking. And then fucking just tap her on the head and fucking run on stage with a half a chubby.
Oh,
you know,
I never had that. That never, like, I never had the sex part of, like, really? The closest I ever came is, I remember Tammy, the girl that worked at Boston.
Which one?
The fucking blonde waitress.
I don't know. I remember the hermaphrodite I hooked up with.
Who was that?
We'll get into that. Who's Tammy?
there was the two. There was the German waitress.
Yeah.
And then there was Tammy.
Okay.
The blonde.
Okay. You fucked her?
Yeah. And that was like the closest I ever. That's the most.
Well, you're on a fucking TV show. Let's be relaxed. I don't want this out here.
No. I was young. I was like 26. I was 26 when that happened. But we're gonna have to go through and edit this podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Wow, you weren't with your wife back then.
I was
single.
Yeah, I was single. But that was the closest I ever got. And then moved out to LA and I fucking fell in love. Just was like, right, I'm in.
Yeah, I remember, dude. You were like a relationship guy.
I'm a relationship whore. Like, I need to be monogamous. this with one person. I couldn't, like, I was obsessive. Like, one night stand, and then all of a sudden you're just checking your dick. You're like, what the fuck? Like,
oh, I used to love that. Oh, I used to love the fucking AIDS roulette. Oh, I love that. I love fucking panicking. That was part of it. Yeah, I shouldn't do. Oh, feeling warm cake for fucking 8 seconds and then worrying about it for fucking 5 months.
Feeling warm cake for 8 seconds and then worrying about it for 9 months is the perfect analogy.
Oh, it was so beautiful, man. But it got to the point where you're either going to be that guy at 50.
That is exactly what it comes down to. Yep. You're either that guy at 50 or you fucking make a decision. And I did not want to be. I remember sitting at the improv bar looking down and seeing the old guys there. And in between the old guys and me was Gary Valentine. Right. Gary Valentine's Kevin James's brother. He was he's older than Kevin, and he was single, and he was my friend at the time who I partied with. Him and Jimmy Schubert were there. I looked at the two of them, and I was like, that their next step, if they don't commit to someone, is that old guy at the very end of the bar.
Right.
And I was like, fuck, I can get out of this early.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm getting married.
Well, I mean, getting married is not for everybody, but it definitely got to the point for me where I did everything else. And I was like, you know what? It's more of a challenge right now, personally, psychologically, spiritually, to try to become this guy.
Yeah.
And try to deal with those fucking demons. Because, you know, all that shit was demons.
Yeah.
You know, I quit drinking and using drugs, but I went to sex and food and all kinds of other shit and cigarettes, you know, as underlying causes as my addictions.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, when it was at that point where everybody was like, dude, just you're a piece of shit. Let her go. Just move on. Be a piece of shit. You can't change who you are. And I was like, what the fuck? Really? Yeah. I can't? I have to...
Never say that if it was heroin. They'd never go, just keep using heroin. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, if it was alcohol or drugs, they would never be like, come on, man. You can handle it. Right. Like, it's you're right. You're totally right. I think you made a good choice. I'm glad you...
Well, I absolutely. As of right now, I almost fucking dumped her on Monday. Went to fucking, we had to get kitchen cabinets at IKEA. I almost fucking gave her a hot boot and right out of the car doing 65.
I can't imagine doing home projects with you.
You don't understand. Listen, I said to her, I go, look, I'll pay for it. Just you get whatever you want. But she's got me at IKEA to save $400 to pick the cabinets up.
Yeah.
It's like, it's worth $400 to fucking have somebody do it. Do you understand? I don't fucking do this shit.
Yeah.
I play video games and I tell dick jokes.
Yeah.
I don't fucking rent a van and lug shit. No offense to those people, but those people are those people.
Those people are those people. I don't do that shit. There's shit I do and there's shit I don't do, okay?
The shit I do and the shit I don't do. I'm going to hurt my back, pull the rib muscle, this fucking twat. And then, and there was... there was 900 boxes, by the way. 900 boxes. I had to call Colin and hire my old door guy, this big black dude, to come over and unload it. Sat in tunnel traffic for a fucking hour. Yeah. Literally put the car in park in the tunnel. She doesn't know how to use a fucking map. It's a, like, I tell her, I need directions to where we're going to pick up the tiles and shit.
Yeah.
She has an iPhone 4. I bought her. It's a fucking supercomputer.
Oh, my God. My wife does the same fucking thing. I go, tell me how the traffic looks. It's green. We get on the 101. It's red. I go, you're looking at fucking Burbank Boulevard. Next, you're looking at Barham. Oh, fucking makes me crazy.
I said to my wife, I go, tell me where to go. She goes, well, I don't know. I go, you're looking at a fucking map. Not only a map. It's a fucking map where we are on the fucking world. Not only that, there's a blue fucking dot that tells us where we are.
That's
and then
us.
There's a red dot that says where we're going. And in between those fucking lines, in between those two dots, is a blue fucking line that tells you go this way.
Yeah.
If you're on the blue line on this street on the fucking map, you're the fucking blue dot. You're going the fucking... How the fuck... Don't you know what that fucking is?
Yep. We went to go buy a bike, me and my wife, and I put the directions on my iPhone, our house to the thing. Halfway there, I go, will you just tell me where I'm going? She looks at me and she goes, well, first of all, you're going the wrong way. So I go, okay. She goes, take a left. And then as we're driving, I go, man, this fucking bike shop is right next to our house. The bitch took us to the green dot. Wow. She took us back to our house. I go, what the fuck are you doing? We're going to the red dot, the finale.
I almost listen to me, dude. I don't know how this she can cook a fucking turkey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She can make a whole thing. She knows how to take a fucking bag of old breadcrumbs and make stuffing that will knock your socks off.
Yeah.
Okay. She knows how to make pie from scratch. All this crazy shit, and you can't read a fucking map. And it's not that she can't do it; is that she doesn't want to fucking do it. She doesn't want to do it. It's that my wife doesn't want to focus in enough and fucking.
Do you think women were like that in like the 1800s when you'd come home and she'd just be like, "Well, the well's broken," and you're like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Well's not working. Can't get water. We don't have any water."
No, women back then. No, women.
You don't think that's something that goes on with women?
No.
And
women
then
back
men
then
had to come and fix it. Like the horse is dead.
No, because you died back then. You died.
Yeah.
Or you got hit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
There was consequences. There's no more consequences.
Yeah.
You're not going to die if we don't make it to IKEA.
Yeah.
And I can't throw you out of the truck doing 60. But you know what I mean? Let me tell you something. You know how many women would have died back in the fucking 1800s if they had cars? You know how many women would be fucking kicked out of a moving vehicle? Like, listen, I think we shouldn't go fucking... They'd have fucking dead woman highway. Okay? Trust me. There's no consequences anymore. And I love my wife. I would never want to fucking.
Yes, I love my wife too. By the way,
I've. She doesn't know how fucking crazy I am.
Yeah.
And I tried. We were in the tunnel, and it was 30 minutes into this traffic stopped, and I in my head I was seconds away of becoming Bill Bixby, and just leaving.
Yeah.
And you can keep it all. I don't care about any of it. I'll go to Vermont and make fucking wood carvings.
Yeah.
I'll live in Burlington, Vermont. I wanted to get out of the car and leave. Like, just, I'm out. Bye.
Yeah.
Where'd Bobby go? Don't know. I don't know. It's been 4 years.
Yeah.
And then maybe she'll walk in like with some other dude, maybe Norton, fucking 10 years, and I got a beard and I'm up in Vermont and I'm fucking making wood carvings.
By the way, what? I didn't know you were such a good fisherman.
Oh yeah,
I've been watching the Opie and you adventures of fly fishing.
I'm an angler, my friend.
Why didn't you go out with Paul when you were in?
Who's Paul?
Paul Castronova.
Who the fuck is Paul Castronova?
From Paul and Ron in Fort Lauderdale.
Well, no,
he's a big fisherman too.
He's deep sea.
Yeah,
I don't fuck with that shit.
Really?
I'm a fly fisherman, man. That's a big difference.
Yeah,
I'm an angler.
I love hearing
I'm
you
an
say
angler.
That. Like, I'm an angler.
You have to, when you fly fish, you have to go out and find what they're eating.
Yeah.
And then match the fly.
And you make your own flies.
No, I'm not a fucking
weirdo. I thought it said the thing that you made your own flies.
No.
Is Opie any good at fly fishing?
He's good.
Really?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a quick study, man. He picks it up quick.
Really?
Surprisingly, yeah. I was hoping that he would just fail.
But
he was actually casting better than me because we were doing a different type of casting. It's called stripping it.
Yeah.
Where you huge flies.
Yeah.
Because the fish are like 26 inches. And you have to hit the bank, strip it, 1, 2, 3, pull it back up, do the same. And then he picked it right up. And I took me a couple minutes. But yeah, he's good. He's good. But fly fishing is the shit.
I could
never go fly fishing with you. I could never. You'll laugh.
Why?
Because you laugh. You laugh. You'd be, first of all, you get
Bobby,
drunk.
There's a bear. There's a bear.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be something. Something would happen with you. But I want to talk about a couple things before we. Did this, and I love this podcast because there's no rhyme or reason to my podcast.
Yeah.
I love just hanging out and yapping.
I love it too.
Just like if me and you met in a fucking Starbucks.
Yeah.
There's no fucking rhyme or reason to.
It's the same conversation
exactly.
We have.
But there is a couple things I do want to hit. Your show.
Yes.
Which is on Travel Channel.
Yep.
Which I was really excited. You know, later in life, you know, the fear goes away. You realize you're not in competition with anybody. And you actually genuinely become happy when you see your friends, nice people, good guys, actually get on and have some type of success. I was happy with Hurt Burt, which was, I don't know why that didn't go.
That was the greatest show that no one ever saw.
God.
Like, I mean, you couldn't get funding for it now. You couldn't make the show. Insurance they'd never let you make that show. Where we were fucking swimming out of the cage with great white sharks.
Explain what the
fuck. Hurt Burt was, I would take a dangerous man's job for a day. Like, so I would go in, I was an MMA fighter. I fought 4 Gracies at once. I was there. They choked me out. Just beat the shit out of me and choked me out. And I was like, helpless. Great television. I was a dominatrix gimp. totally nude. Totally nude. Just basically shot a dominatrix porn. And it just got tortured. Cattle prodded to the balls. You name it. I was a rodeo clown where I got my ribs broken and my foot broken.
I remember you did the... what's the other one? The football one.
I was a professional football player for Arena.
You had to catch it.
And I literally just got...
You had to return a kick,
and I was a quarterback. Here's what happened on that one. I was an idiot because they were like, you're going to be the quarterback, and I knew very quickly that my offensive line wasn't going to defend me, that they were just going to attack me. So what I did is I took one step back and I sprinted up the middle right by all the linemen who were and I ran right into the end zone. This is at the end of their practice, right? I run into the end zone. I spike the ball, cameras come in and follow me, and I start doing a touchdown dance, and I'm like, that'll be really great. And then all of a sudden the defensive coach comes out and he's like, what the fuck is going on in here? This guy's a comedian and you let him blow your doors off like that? That is why you're not starting. And grabbing him by the face masks. You better have this guy on a stretcher by the end of the day, or every single one of you, I want your uniforms. And I was like, oh, I just made a mistake. This was a big mistake. The next play, I'm like, hut, and these guys fucking lit me up like I owed them money. Just big buck motherfuckers, just and I think I got a concussion that day. I'm pretty sure. Like, if you watch it online, it's on YouTube. You'll literally see me get destroyed. So then,
there's nothing funnier than seeing somebody get the wind knocked out of them now, because the noise.
How do we get out of here?
There's nothing.
Oh, it's fucking
funny.
So
the
real.
The noises that come out of people when they get the wind knocked out of them is got to be one of the funniest. It's that and fart noises are the fucking two funniest noises.
I could knock the wind out of people for a bit to close a show, and you just like have a mic on them and you just punch them in the stomach. Like, that was.
You remember the lady who was doing the
wine stomping? Oh, that is fucking brilliant.
But listen. That show was fucking amazing, but nobody watched it. That's why they took it off.
Yeah, no one watched it. It was on FX. It was on like 11 o'clock at night.
It was on FX. No shit.
Yeah, it was on FX. And then they brought me back. They were going to do a second season. And then they were like, and they said to me, how would you feel? Now, think of this pitch, right? Mm-hmm. And where television is today.
Yeah.
They were like, how would you feel if we got you a job on a crab boat in the Arctic Circle and we just followed you working on a crab boat for like a month for the season? And I was like, I'll do it. And they were like, all right, let's do it. And then FX was like, nah, I don't think it'll work. Are you fucking kidding me? Deadliest Catch. It's the biggest show on fucking television. Jackass came out after that. Like all these shows that were just Dirty Jobs, all these shows that were just like it.
You know how big that would have been?
I might be dead. I can't imagine me on a fucking crab boat. It'd be fucking huge.
Your fucking kids would have crushed ice.
Yeah. And so then from that I got I went on and did like pilots just to pay bills. Like I've done so many fucking pilots.
Really?
Like probably 25 pilots.
No shit.
25 cable pilots at least.
And
at
none of them have been picked up.
None of them.
Nothing.
And I've done ones that are out of this world hilarious.
Really?
But it's just like I did one for Comedy Central. I've done a number for Comedy Central that were just like, they'd be like, we got an idea, you know, let's just shoot a sizzle. And one was where it was Cash Cab, but at a bar. So we'd pick up, it was Insomniac meets Cash Cab. We go to a bar, pick a bunch of people, put them in a van drunk. They blow into a breathalyzer. Whatever they blew, they got as a bank. So if they blew like a .30, we give them $300. And then we'd play games like guess what's in your mouth? Like all these really sexually, like really aggressive, racy games. It was so funny that it was a no-brainer. They were like, let's schedule out 36 weeks to shoot a bunch of these. And I was like, oh, it's going to be fucking great. I'm going to be a millionaire. And then their ad sales was like, we can't sell it. Everyone's drunk. We can't sell it.
Wow.
And so I've done a number of those. Even when I did Bert the Conqueror, I just kind of thought, man, this will never work. I was like, there's no way that anyone's going to want to watch me just scream on roller coasters.
Yeah, but it's not you screaming on roller coasters as much as it is you. You've always had this personality, bro, which, you know, I've told everybody who knows you. It's like, dude, Bert could walk into a funeral and make somebody smirk. He can make somebody just fucking... I mean, he's got that fucking happy, nice... He's a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
He's not an evil person. He's got that fucking lovable, goofy fucking shit.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy, and he'll do anything.
Yeah.
He'll do anything.
Well, thank you. And I think that, you know...
Yeah.
Travel has been a great home. Like, I love working for them. I love
my
the
favorite,
people.
It's one of my favorite channels.
Oh, yeah. And I love everyone on the network. I love the people that work there. I mean, it's a great place to work.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
I mean, I'm a big fan of Bourdain's show for years.
Fuck yeah, I'm a big fan of Bourdain.
Bizarre Foods.
Bizarre Foods is amazing. Adam's show, Adam Richman's
I'm
Man
not,
vs.
I,
Food.
I, you know...
Really?
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I like the show when it came out. But now it's like, dude, you can't win. You can't win. You can't win anymore because you went too far. Now people are making shit up to get the show in. It's like you can't eat 8 pounds of hamburger.
Yeah,
I know you're gonna lose. And the whole thing is, like, you see meat sweats. The guy's gonna die.
Yeah,
something bad's gonna happen to this guy.
I think he's. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen him in a while, but I think he's, you know, try to everyone. I've got a problem with my weight, so I think everyone's.
I mean, dude,
yeah.
You don't have to ask me. You know, great it would be. And I get it. And I'm jealous that I should have that job.
That's right.
It's a little above.
Yeah, I was like, that would be a fun show. Just going
just
to fucking eat
me. Oh. Just eat.
Yeah.
Just to eat.
Bobby, we made you something special.
And here's
like,
the deal. Here's the deal, my friend. I'd win most of these competitions. I could fucking throw down 8 pounds of fucking hamburger.
Oh, that's fucking
okay?
true. Oh.
My wife last night. I was eating. She ran over. That's enough. That's enough. She had to run and grab the container out of my hand as I'm like trying to shovel food in. My dogs are all around me eating as the food falls and rip it out. She's like, "What's wrong with you?"
Yeah,
I should be on that show.
Yeah, he's a great guy. You'd really like Adam.
No, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I actually have a new show that I have coming out where it's a talk show. That I actually shot it in Fort Lauderdale that weekend I was there.
Really?
Yeah, me and my manager came up with it. We actually do a talk show out of a U-Haul.
Where Shut up.
Yeah, it's because you he was going to rent the car. It was $150.
Yeah.
And it was U-Haul's $19.95 a day. So I was like, fucking get the U-Haul.
Get the U-Haul. We get some sponsorship out of it, too.
We went to fucking U-Haul, rented the fucking thing, and put a set in the back of it. And we literally just pull up all over Florida. We drove around.
That's a great idea.
But we pulled up like to Starbucks, and we just interviewed a doctor, some dude.
Shut up.
But he wound up being in like a gang.
Are you such a great...
But he was smoking. It was fucking great. I was like, this is the best. And then some. We pulled up to Barnes & Noble. We whip open the back. There's a set. And then we had three rodeo guys.
That is a great fucking idea.
Yeah.
Where are you taking it next? Are you just going?
We're doing it, dude. That's what I love.
Fucking great.
That's what I love about fucking where we're at now is that this guy has a fucking, was that a D5 or a D7? 7D. Go fuck yourself. Don't ever correct me again. Cocksucker. I never get that one. I tried to fuck. Did you see how confident I went?
Yeah.
This guy's got D5.
You could have.
First
D5?
Of all, just to let you know, you could have let it slide.
Yeah.
You could have said 5. You didn't have to say D in front or back. Yeah, he could have. Yeah, he could have said 7, and nobody would have known. God, what a motherfucker! So, you can. I have a. You can do anything. I mean, look, we're doing a radio show. I could have brought my laptop right now. This could have went out live.
Yeah,
all over.
Yeah,
we could shoot a radio show right now. I mean, this is we just made your hotel room in New York a fucking studio.
Literally a talk show set. I mean, honestly.
We're shooting a show right now.
Yeah.
Two different shows that you could combine to make one show. I mean, this, you can do whatever you want. The average asshole right now, not that you guys are average assholes. I don't want you guys. We are.
The average asshole just sit right there and hold a camera. That asshole.
But we can, that's what the beauty about it.
Yeah.
We went out and we shot this fucking thing, made a sizzle reel. U-Haul's into it. It's fucking, and we're doing trivia. We're shooting in New York. We have a band coming on, and I pull the truck up with the audience in the back of the truck. So we literally pull it up on the side street. The band is playing. It's in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Just pull up, boom. The band starts playing. I got a comic doing a set.
That's
so
great.
We tweet out. We're going to be tweeting out. Look, we're going to be here at 12 o'clock.
Shut up. You guys are like the food truck of entertainment.
That's what it is, right?
That's fucking genius.
So we're going to have, we're going to tweet out. We're going to be at blah, 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 12 with a special band and a special comedian. Show the fuck up if you want to be on the show.
That's fucking great.
Then we're
going to
interview, of course, the band and blah, blah, blah. We're going to interview the people, too.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just have, we pull up anywhere. Like, if we drove by a lady in a house on the front porch and we just pulled up. You want to be on my show?
That
yeah.
is fucking great.
And it's
great.
It's like these people are amazing.
If you go to like Vegas or fucking LA and all the crazy, you know how many people are, it's like, hey, what's your story? And they're like, oh my God, let me tell you. That's fucking
$19.95 a day, kid.
That's great. That's it.
So everywhere we go, we're going to fucking, we're going to take the, hopefully take the truck across country and just interview anybody, anywhere. And some of it's going to suck. To be honest, some of it, some of the people, like, once they, you know, once they get on camera, it fucking blows. But
yeah,
it's,
well, it's the thing. It's, I mean, I definitely deal with a lot of people off on camera that are not ready to be on camera.
Right.
And it just takes a minute. And you can totally tell the ones that are going to suck. And you go, all right, we're going to wrap that one. But right. when you find the gold,
right.
the fucking yeah. one goth kid who can rap, or like the random shit where you're like, I did not see that coming.
Right.
It's fucking gold for a reason.
Yeah.
And when you find gold, it's going to be like, you're gonna, people are going to watch you find gold. I mean, that's, can you imagine seeing a miner digging and find, you see the gold first, you're like, I see gold. And then he grabs it and he's like, I got gold. Like, fucking great.
This is why I love Bert, is because I got the fucking analogy.
Yeah, but I walked you through it still.
Not only did you walk me through it in this era, you walked me through it in the old era. Like the fucking late 1800s, yeah, early 19. It's like, I just go to the first mine. The fuck, man. But here's the deal. You got this show on TV. It's a hit, right?
Yeah. I mean.
No, I mean. I'm no,
it's been, it's, it is, it is, it's, I've gotten recognized a lot from it, and it's a great, and it's gotten me with Travel Channel more than I could ever fathom.
And Travel Channel is excited. Now, do you have anything else coming out?
I have a deal with them that I just signed for 2 years. Yeah.
That's great.
So I'm going to be working with them for 2 years, and we're kind of, like, I'm kind of more like an employee, so I'm like all over the map. Like, I do a lot of things for them. Like, I do these blooper specials.
Right.
I do these, the like more like a web soup type thing for them.
Right.
And then I'm doing a new show for them, and then there's the option to do, I think we're done with Bert the Conqueror as a TV series. I think we may do specials, like,
right.
It's like our specials out of the country, mm-hmm. to make it a little bigger.
That's, you can't, that's cool.
You can't do anything international for 30 minutes. So if it's international production wise, it's got to be an hour.
Really?
Yeah. So no,
there's, oh, that, yeah. Okay, I get you.
So anything international is going to be an hour, only because if you're going to spend that much money to go there, mm-hmm. you got to
get content.
Right. So if they want to do anything international, the only option was to do our specials. So,
yeah.
And I think we've ridden every ride there is to ride in this country, and right. I've done all the events in this country that can that like jumped off the stratosphere, jumped off of a plane. Yeah,
you're gonna get killed. You're gonna have to go to Russia and you have to ride this fucking, you know, this
the fucking Soviet rocket. Put it in the desert. Yeah. You go. Some,
dude, they jump off of buildings out there.
There's, dude. Have you seen the ones where the guys go up in the fucking tower and then just walk out to the edge and they're like, oh, look at me. You're like, motherfucker.
Yeah, don't get killed, dude.
No. I'm a lot more.
I don't want you to fucking get. I don't want to read about you.
I'll be alive. I'll end up killing myself.
No, don't kill
yourself. Not killing myself, but it'll be my lifestyle. Like, we were talking, like, I went for a jog today. I was like, man, I got to fucking get. I want to get in shape. I want to get.
Yeah.
I don't want to be hot and skinny. I just want to be like, I want to get like, I want to go to the doctor and the doctor go, you look good.
Yeah, like, I went in May. Everything was perfect.
Really?
Everything was perfect except for calcium or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Some bullshit. You know, because my mother didn't let us drink milk when we were a kid. Fucking twat.
Yeah.
But, and then I quit smoking.
Yeah.
3 months ago.
That's great.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was fucking hard, dude.
Why didn't you just do those electronic cigarettes?
I'll smoke. I'm not going to fucking. Yeah. It's a cigarette.
Yeah.
That electronic cigarette horseshit craze. We're such fucking cattle, man.
Yeah.
You're smoking a cigarette. Well, it's not. Fuck you.
It looks like a cigarette.
It's a cigarette.
It tastes like a cigarette.
And it has nicotine.
Yeah.
And the nicotine is what keeps you addicted.
Yeah.
Rich Voss is addicted to nicotine gum. I saw him chewing nicotine gum, eating a fucking corn muffin at the same time.
He's still, has he not smoked in a while?
Dude, he's eating corn muffins and gum. That's how addicted he is. He can't fuck. Ugh. So, I mean, I woke up, I was done.
He was saying he'd wake up in the middle of the night. He was like, at my worst, I'd wake up in the middle of the night to smoke a cigarette.
Oh, fuck, you know me, dude. You always saw me with a cigarette. Yeah.
You look cool. I got to be honest with you. You looked cool when you smoked.
I did.
You really did?
I fucking love smoking, dude. It's such a cool... Dude, I watch old movies, man, and you're like, fuck.
And you don't have the raspy voice that's out of breath. Like, you still seem healthy. I mean, I think you got probably like a couple more years with it.
Of smoking?
Yeah.
You're a cunt. I think you should do heroin.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Shut up.
If you can get me a really good hour special out of it.
I quit smoking, dude. I'd have to lose 30 pounds now. I literally put on 20 pounds
in the last
3 months. Yeah, I fucking said, fuck it. I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm going to try to lose some weight.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. And I went to the doctors the other day because my heart was fucking hurting.
Seriously?
Yeah, I felt some, but it was acid reflux.
Yeah.
It was a esophagus spasm.
Maybe that's what I have.
Yeah, right in the chest.
Right in the center?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that.
You got that too?
Yeah, I got acid reflux.
Fucking
shit. You just throw up in your mouth all night.
Where did this come from?
I have no idea.
I mean, it's like it's in the last 20 years, everybody has acid reflux.
Yeah, now all of a sudden I'm just in the middle of the night.
My grandfather didn't take Tums.
No, yeah. They'd eat like, I remember seeing my dad eat like sticks of pepperoni. Like just cut it up with a knife and pop it in and be like, I'm going to bed.
Something's weird, man. Everybody I know has fucking acid reflux, except my wife doesn't have it.
Yeah.
I think she's an alien. I think they're the aliens.
Doesn't have anything.
Dude.
My wife is a fucking white sweat sock. Nothing. Nothing. Like nothing. Doesn't need a glass of wine. Doesn't need a cigarette. Never had a cigarette. And then would never smoke drugs. Never done anything. Literally nothing. Like just like right. She like if she has wine, she'll have a little bit. You know. Doesn't like in the morning likes to have one egg scrambled with one piece of toast cut in half with butter.
None.
She's just a regular person. Like she's what you're supposed to be. Yeah. She has like two strips of bacon.
Really?
Every Friday it's pizza night. Every Saturday it's pancakes and bacon. Like a literal housewife.
That's
like,
great.
Oh, she's amazing. But
that's
then
great. My wife fucking, she had to quit smoking because I was smoking.
Yeah.
She's from Boston.
Really?
Yeah. She's from Beantown. So we're trying to have the baby. So we were like, we probably start smoking.
Yeah.
We had to get my jizz checked. That was a fucking nightmare. All they had was black porn. No offense. It was black. It's like, get out, come on. I need a
Why would they just have black porn?
I think there was two rooms. I think the guy that was in the other room came in my room and took the porn.
Yeah.
It was just big black chicks and it was like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I need a white chick on a trampoline with a fucking like old dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With a some backyard grassy.
Hey. I need something that's shocking these days.
Nah, yo, really?
I mean I think I've broken my governor.
Really?
Like, yeah, I literally have not been, I only recently was just like, you know, I'm going to take a break from myself.
From
like,
porn?
Yeah, from porn.
From everything.
Like, yeah. But I still drink a little bit, but a lot, what am I saying? A little bit. But like, just this past 22 days, I've been on the fucking road, and I'm like, it's like the only thing I have at the end of the night is those beers that I go, all right, now I can just relax and go to bed, because I'm working every fucking day.
Right.
And but lately I've just been like when we were I was in New Orleans for 5 days shooting something and I just would get done and I'd have like three beers and go back to my room and pass out and sleep like fucking a dream.
Yeah, I've been working fucking my ass off too. And you get in at night and you fucking you got to go to bed because you're actually tired.
Oh,
I jerked off today before I came here, the first time and in maybe 3 weeks. I jerked off.
Yeah.
Because I've been so, you know, literally waking up and working all day, all the shit we're doing.
Yeah.
And then fucking, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out and I bang my wife because I'm trying to have a kid. I don't even, I jerked off today and I was almost like, fuck it. And then something hit me and I was like, fuck it, I'll get this out. So,
if my wife knew, like Rogan gave me one of those
dildos?
Fleshlights.
No.
You know, a flashlight.
Oh, you can fuck it.
Yeah, he gave one to me, and I brought it home, and I showed it to my wife, and I was like, "Take a look." Like he just gives you one when you leave. He's like, "Oh, take this." So I bring it home. I show it to my wife. I go, "Here, take a look at this." And she just looks at it. She's like, "What is it?" And I go, it's a flashlight. She goes, what do you do? I said, open it up. She goes, what's this thing? And I was like, what do you think it is? She goes, I don't know. What is it? Like, literally no fucking idea.
Really?
And I, if you gave me one of those, I'd, in a heartbeat, I'd be like, oh, you put your dick in it, like, real quick. But she was like, I don't, what do you do? I go, feel it. She goes, ooh, it's soft. And I'm like, no, what do you think you do with it? She's like, I don't know. What is it? I don't know. What is it? Like, really no fucking idea. And then I was like, you fuck it. And she was like, who does? And I was like, I would. And she goes, why? I go, so that you have an... She goes, ew, why would you do that? Oh, that's so gross. And I'm like, oh, yeah. She's like, I can't believe they'd make... Like, literally, no.
My wife, I brought home a half a torso.
What?
It was literally like the vagina, the asshole.
Like latex.
Up to the... Yeah, it's
not found it.
I brought it. I went on a radio show.
Are you serious?
Literally, yeah. It was on a radio show in Kansas City, and it had callers, and they let me play. And you're supposed to guess the price. I guessed it to the dollar. I went $199.95. And they were like, that's the exact price.
Are you serious?
And I was like, and they were like, you won. And I was like, cool. And I took it. And I wasn't, they didn't want me to take it. Like, they wanted me to. There was a guy with a broken arm, his jerk off ham, and another guy who just got dumped by his wife, divorced.
And wait, you check it in your luggage?
I can't. This is not. No,
it's a carry on.
This is after September 11th. I can't do that. I had to mail it to myself. I had my web guy who lived in Kansas City mail it to me, and I fucked it. You put it on the bed and you fuck it.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, I fucked its ass, and I fucked its pussy, and it was amazing. And then the only part that the reason why I stopped fucking it
is because you had to clean it.
You had to clean it.
It's the most humiliating thing in the world.
It's hard. It's very hard to get in there. And then I used it as a pen holder on my desk.
Are you serious?
I put the pens in the vagina and the asshole.
That is so funny.
My wife, but it had hair, like real hair.
Really?
It had it's U3G, like super fucking crazy skin.
Oh, shut
plastic.
Up. Yeah.
So it felt like, and it stuck to the bed. So when you fucked it, it didn't move.
Oh,
like
my God.
Like the back of it was like sticky.
Yeah.
So you could fuck the shit out of it. Like, not just gently bang it. You could fucking, I actually set up a scenario. I put the pillow like the rest of the body, and I swear to God, I got into bed with it. And I kind of rolled over on top of it. Yeah, and my dick went right in.
Oh.
I was like, oh. You know what I mean? Like when you break the seal.
Yeah.
And I did. I put lube on the inside. I opened the pussy up, put the lube on the inside, left it dry on the outside so that you can break the seal. Like you push out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude. It was good.
Dude, that's so thought. That's so much thought went into that.
Yeah, dude. It was. It was bad, but see, this was before I went to therapy too.
Yeah.
I had that. I would love to fuck a flashlight. I'd use that shit instead of my dumb hand.
Yeah.
I hate my fucking hand.
Yeah.
I hate it. Masturbating stinks.
It's
the same thing. I'm in the shower. I get the shower massage under my balls.
There hasn't been that much of an upgrade in it since I started. Like, it's the same.
It's the same. I mean, for men,
yeah.
Women, you go in, there's fucking sword-handed dildos,
nine
fucking
different
nine different levels of brown cock and bigger veins. And
what are you coming out to LA next?
How do you fucking know? We're talking about dick right now.
No. I'm just saying. Joe has tons of flashlights.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm all right. I can't. I don't want any. I'm good. Yeah. I'm not gonna. I'm trying to stay away from it. Yeah. I'm not gonna fuck a flashlight anymore. I mean, if he gave me one, I'd fuck it.
Yeah.
I would definitely fuck it, but I wouldn't. I'd probably give it away as a after.
After.
I had to throw that out too. I had to throw the torso.
Because you couldn't get any work done. You just look and be like, oh, let me grab a.
It was just too. After a while, it was like, what the fuck? But you threw it out, and I just imagine somebody finding that. That's just fucking brilliant. Yeah. Just some fucking homeless guy finding a torso.
Oh my God.
You just look up a gun, thank you. Now he can put that in his, like a friend in his box, and somebody can fuck.
Talk to it.
Yeah, how great would that be for
a
homeless
person? This is a bad day. I did not have a good
day. You wash your pussy, you smell.
Yeah.
So listen, man, this has been great hanging with you.
Bobby, it is so good. It's so good to see you this happy.
Yeah, well, you've always been this happy, but I'm so glad that you're fucking around, but you're killing it, dude. You know, you're killing it on the road. You fucking got a great show. I've watched it a bunch of times, and I'm not just saying that. I'm a big fan of the channel. I love the channel. So when you came on, I was like, oh, don't fucking ruin this channel for me, dude. I love you, Bert. Please don't fuck this up. But the show's fucking great.
Thanks, Bobby.
But I'm glad. I'm also glad you're not doing it anymore. Yeah. Because it did come. It was like, what else? In my head, I was like, what else are you going to. And now you're like, you're fucking smart. The channel's smart that they're sending you off to do something else.
Yeah.
Because you're great on the channel. You should be doing that stuff.
It's a good channel. It's run by good people. Yeah. And I think they just got to fucking. They've got the right view in mind for that.
You're perfect for the channel.
Oh, thanks,
me and
Bobby.
You should do a show where they just throw us somewhere. You know, oh, dude, it would just be funny filming us argue.
Tell me where you want to go on vacation. No, I'll make it happen.
I don't want you to know.
Me, you, and your chick, and I'll just plan the vacation.
Dude, I don't want you.
Where do you
want
to go?
No.
Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Rome? You want to go to Rome?
I do want
to
go to
Rome. Let's go to Rome together, and I'll plan the entire vacation, and I'll put you up in a hotel.
No, I'm not going to Rome with you.
Why not?
Because I'm not going to Rome with you.
Come on.
Because my wife wants to go to Rome. She's been planning Rome. Shut up.
I'll plan the whole thing, Bobby. Bobby, I'll plan the whole thing. Inside tour to the Coliseum.
No.
Shit you can't get into. I'll get you on that tour.
No.
Come on, Bobby.
No.
Let's go.
No. No, because I see your face, Bert.
It'll be so much fun.
Look, I love you, dude. And this whole thing went fine. But I know you. I know deep down. Exactly. Something's going to happen.
Australia?
No.
Where do you want to go?
No.
How about France?
No.
South of France?
No.
Oh, like a boat tour through the... Come on, Bobby.
A fucking boat tour?
I can do whatever we want.
I'm not getting on a boat with you ever again. It's not happening. Fucking jackass.
Oh.
If I go to Rome, it's with my wife. If me and you someday, we'll go somewhere.
Okay.
We'll go somewhere. We'll go to like Brazil.
Maybe
I can't go to Brazil.
Maybe I'll take like you, me, you, and Norton, and we'll go on a man's tour.
Well, with what? Me, you, and Norton?
Yeah.
That's a man's tour?
Me, you, Norton, and Voss.
That's not a man's tour. That's an old man's tour and two fucking men.
We'll go to Amsterdam, Scotland.
That's a fucking dude who likes
and
dudes.
And Brussels.
Dude, this is what I say we do.
What?
We reunite the fucking, the RV.
I'll do it.
We get Frosty. We get fucking Vince.
Yeah.
We get the RV and we do the same trip again.
I'm in.
Yeah?
I'm in 100%.
I'd do that.
Let's do it.
Remember Frosty wouldn't go in the water?
He was terrified.
Pussy.
And he lost his flip-flops or he lost his shoes. Remember he was like, I'm only going in with my shoes. And he jumped in and he sunk in the water and he was like, help, help. And his shoes were stuck in the water and we had to find them. What?
Bert, I don't remember that.
How do you not remember any of that? And I was so drunk that whole trip.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
We're calling Frosty, and I guarantee
we'll call
you.
We're calling Frosty, and if you're lying, if I'm the wrong guy.
I'm not lying. There's no way I could have made that up.
We'll call him Frosty. We're going to do this. Thanks for being on my show, dude.
I appreciate it, buddy.
And
thank you.
And so what are you plugging?
Nothing.
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 Dude, what's your Twitter?
Bert at Bert Kreischer.
Bert
good luck spelling
at
that.
Bert Kreischer.
If you go to BertBertBert.com, three Berts, BERT,
glad you're making it easy for the listeners.
You'll find all my stuff, my Twitter, my Facebook, my YouTube, everything.
Yeah.
And then you can buy a machine shirt. You can listen to the machine story.
One.
I'll give you one.
I want one.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
And I'll take a picture of it and I'll put it on my Twitter. You guys can see what it looks like. I actually love the shirt.
It's a good looking shirt. These guys are the ones that created it.
Really?
Yeah. And then
who are these guys?
So they're a documentary.
Just to let you guys know that we've been filming this whole podcast.
Yeah. So we're doing a documentary. Jeff and Jeff's wife and my wife are good friends.
That's cool.
Best friends. And then
that's how you know he has a big cock?
Yeah. She said it's monster. Like he can't even get all blood in it.
Really?
So,
you know what? Look at his hands.
Yeah.
Holding that fucking camera. It looks like a tiny little fucking... Little fucking Hi-8 in his hands.
I know. So they decided to do.
Too. He knows he has a big cock because he didn't even fucking not even a smile.
He
nothing. A big dick. Do the camera thing.
So down
with the camera.
So they said I told them I wanted to do a documentary and they were like, great. Yeah. So they shot a sizzle reel. We put it on Kickstarter.com.
Yeah.
Raised $30,000 in a month to make a documentary.
No shit.
Yeah. And then they made a budget. They got the cameras. They got. And then in order to raise money, they end up making the shirts so that every time you donated more and more, you got more shit. And they made the shirts. And the second they made the shirts, they went through the roof. Rogan saw them and was like, I need one.
Right.
And so I gave it one to Rogan. He wore it on his podcast. And literally the second he put it on the podcast, the fucking $30,000 was done.
If I put it on my podcast,
it'll
raise around.
It'll
get like $48.
Yeah, I'll take it.
You get like $48. You guys go to dinner tonight?
Yeah,
not like dinner, but like you can get pizzas.
Yeah, pizzas, definitely. I'll murder a pizza.
I definitely want. So you put it on that Kickstarter thing.
Kickstarter, and then that raised the money
to be able
and,
to do it.
Yeah, and then now I just have these shirts. I sell them on my website.
And what is this whole thing about? What is this for?
I don't know. We're trying to figure it out. Like, I wanted to do a documentary that was representative of what we're talking about. The road.
Yeah.
What that like that slice of life is like. Not tourgasm, not like comedians of comedy, but just real, like what my life's like. But and so we've been shooting the road and just kind of the chaos that happens on the road, but we're trying to figure it out.
And these guys are with you all the time.
Everywhere I go. Like, they went to Amsterdam for 10 days with me. They went to England. We did the comedy store there. We've done Columbus, New York, Tempe.
Are you going to the Cellar tonight?
No, my last show's at like fucking 12.
So what? The Cellar goes till 3 in the morning.
Maybe I'll stop by the Cellar. I don't know, but you know, comics are weird. If I roll in with cameras, everyone will be like, what the fuck? Like, come on, man. And then I'll be like, you know, it'll be weird. A weird energy.
Be like that?
I don't know.
At 12:30, no fucking comics. It's all the fucking new guys.
We'll get 45 minutes of Artie. Oh. Artie just, oh shit, all right, Godfrey and Artie.
45 minutes of fucking deletable material.
I love those guys. I love walking by the Cellar and running into like Sherrod. Like, people I haven't seen him fucking forever.
Yeah.
It's fucking the best, the heart of New York comedy.
It's crazy, right? It really is. Back in the fucking day. Now you know what we're doing?
What?
We're working.
Yeah.
It's work. Yeah. That's all this fucking business is. You want to fucking do something? You want to be on TV? You want to buy fucking crushed ice for your kids? You got to wake up and go to work. You got to do podcasts. You got to fucking do documentaries. You got to fucking audition. You got to do the shows in the shit towns. All that. You got to get up and fucking
wake up early.
Write shit. Yep. Come up with ideas and get with talented fucking people and work your ass off. That's what it is. It's not just getting on stage and being funny. Yeah. And having somebody go, you're the shit. Those days are dead.
Yep.
They're dead.
You're totally fucking right.
Yeah.
It has become a job.
It's a job, but it's a fucking great job.
It's a great job. I would never trade it for anything in the world. Yeah. I'm the luckiest man in the fucking world, and I genuinely, sincerely believe that.
Right.
But it is a job.
Yeah, it's a fucking job, but I'm proud, man. Look at where we're in a fucking fancy hotel in New York City. We both fucking have crushed ice in our lives.
Yeah.
I'm getting mine next week. You've had yours for a while because you had fucking 26 deals. But I'm proud of you, man. So thanks for coming on.
I love you, Bobby. Thank you, man.
I like you a lot. No, I love you too, buddy. I'll talk to you later, man. All right. Bye. Okay, here's the deal. Go right now to iTunes and get my app. It's free, you asshole. It's free. Free. If you have an iPhone and you don't have my app on it and you listen to this podcast, you're a fucking loser or you're just lazy. It has the podcast on there, updates every week. It has my tour dates. It has a bunch of shit, and it's free. It's free. It's the best way to listen to the podcast if you have an iPhone. Right in your fucking hand. It updates automatically. And another thing, motherfuckers, thank you for donating all the fucking cash you have. We've made this podcast a million times better because of your donations. If you want to donate, it's $10 and $20. We're going to kind of switch that up to make it whatever you want. It's on gloryholeradio.com/Robert Kelly, right at the top donate button. We appreciate all the donations because it does help. It fucking helps. We pay for a bunch of shit, microphones and cords and wires and fucking mixing boards and all kinds of doodads that we need to make this show better so you guys get to fucking have some entertainment in your life. So thank you for all the donations. Keep spreading the word. Tell everybody you know to get this fucking podcast. You guys got us up to number 30 last week. That's amazing. So thank you, and that's it. Keep listening. Do 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 do.